Hare Krishna. We welcome you on the auspicious occasion of Sri Nityananda Trayodasi, the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram in Krishna Lila. Balaram Hoila Nitai. And Papi Tapi Udarilo, he came to deliver all the fallen sinful souls. Tars Shakshi Jagai Madhai. And the example of this, or the evidence of this, are Jagai and Madhai. But I'll begin by reading a verse and purport about the place where Nityananda Prabhu appeared and his early history, and then we will go on to discuss his merciful pastimes. So please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
So we will read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 13, The Advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the role of a devotee, and Lord Nityananda is Balaram in the role of a devotee. So I'll read text 61. Radha Deshe Janmila Thakura Nityananda Gangadasa Pandit Gupta Murari Mukunda. In Radha Desh, the part of Bengal where the Ganges is not visible, Nityananda Prabhu, Gangadas Pandit, Murari Gupta, and Mukunda took birth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here Radha Deshe refers to the village of the name Ekachakra in the district of Birbhum, next to Burdwan. Ekachakra village extends north and south for an area of about 8 miles. Other villages, namely Virachandrapur and Virabhadrapur, are situated within the area of the village of Ekachakra. In honor of the holy name of Virabhadra Goswami, these places are renowned as Virachandrapur and Virabhadrapur. How many of you have been to Ekachakra? Yes. One year, His Holiness Radhanath Swami took a yatra from Mayapur to different surrounding areas. And we went to Ekachakra Gram. But when he went on, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami and I decided to stay behind in Ekachakra so we could have more time in that holy place. And I'm glad we did. So within the main temple, there is a deity of Sri Krishna, established by Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The name of the deity is Bankim Roy. Bankim Roy or Banka Rai. On Bankim Rai's right side is a deity of Janava, who's the eternal consort of Lord Nityananda. And on his left side is Srimati Radharani. The priests of the temple describe that Lord Nityananda Prabhu entered within the body of Bankim Rai, and that the deity of Janava Mata was therefore later placed on the right side of Bankim Rai. Afterwards, many other deities were installed within the temple. But Bankim Rai is the deity originally installed by Nityananda Prabhu. On the east side of the temple is a ghat known as Kadambakandi, on the bank of a river called the Yamuna. And it is said that the deity of Bankim Rai was floating in the water, and Lord Nityananda picked him up and then installed him in the temple. Thereafter, in a place known as Buddhapur, in the village of Virachandrapur, about half a mile west, is a place underneath a neem tree. Srimati Radharani was found. For this reason, the Radharani of Bankim Rai was known as Buddhapurera Thakurani, the mistress of Buddhapur. Now the temple and temple corridor rest on a high plinth, and on a concrete structure in front of the temple is a kirtan hall. It is also said that on the northern side of the temple there was a deity of Lord Shiva named Bandishwara, and that the father of Nityananda Prabhu, who is named Adai Pandit, used to worship that deity. Lord Nityananda Prabhu did not factually construct any temples. The temple was constructed at the time of Virabhadra Prabhu in 1891. A brahmachari of the name Shivananda Swami repaired the temple. A few steps from the temple is a place known as Vishramatal, where it is said that Nityananda Prabhu in his childhood used to enjoy sporting with his friends by enacting the Rasa Leela and various other pastimes of Vrindavan. So Nitai was the natural leader of all of his friends, and as their childhood play, they would enact the pastimes of Krishna very realistically. Near the temple is a place named Imlital, which is so named because of a big tamarind tree there. According to a party named the Nedadi Sampradaya, Virabhadra Prabhu, with the assistance of 1,200 Nedas, Buddhist monks, dug a great lake of the name Sweta Ganga. Outside of the temple are tombs of the Goswamis, and there is a small river known as the Modeshwara, which is called the water of Yamuna. Within half a mile from the small river is the birthplace of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The place where Nityananda Prabhu appeared is called Garbhavasa. There is an allotment of 43 bigas, 14 acres of land, to continue the worship in a temple there. So it's the system in India, common practice, that the deities in a temple would be allotted some land, and then the revenue from the land, from the crops, well, some of the crops would be used for the deity's service, and then the revenue from the extra produce that was sold would be used for the deity's worship and service. It is said that near the place known as Garbhavasa, a Dai Pandit conducted a primary school. The priests of this place, listed in a genealogical table, were as follows. It started with Sri Raghava Chandra, 2, Jagadananda Das, 3, Krishna Das, 4, Nityananda Das, 5, Ramadas, 6, Vrajamohandas, 7, Kanaidas, 8, Goradas, 9, Shivanandadas, and 10, Haridas. They are known as belonging to the Nityananda family. Near Garbhavas is a place called Bakulatal, where Sri Nityananda and his boyfriends used to take part in sporting activities known as Jala Japeta. There is a Bakul tree there that is wonderful because all its branches and sub-branches look like the hoods of serpents. It has been suggested that by the desire of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Anantadev manifested himself in that way. So Anantadev is an expansion of Nityananda Prabhu, or more properly speaking, of Lord Balaram. And he serves the Lord in many capacities, such as he serves as like the couch or the sitting place of the Lord. His hoods form an umbrella over the head of the Lord, and so that tree in Ekachakra, which looks like are the heads of a serpent is said to be a manifestation of Ananta Shesh by the desire of Nityananda Prabhu. There is a Bakul tree there that is wonderful because all its branches and sub-branches look like the hoods of serpents. It has been suggested that by the desire of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Anantadev manifested himself in that way. The tree is very old. It is said that formerly it had two trunks, but later on, when the playmates of Nityananda Prabhu felt inconvenience in jumping from the branches of one trunk to those of the other, Nityananda Prabhu, by his mercy, merged the two trunks into one. Another place nearby is named Hantaguda. It is said that Lord Nityananda Prabhu brought all the holy places there. Therefore, the people in the surrounding villages go there instead of to the Ganges to take bath. It is named Hantaguda, Hantugada, because Srila Nityananda Prabhu used to perform the Dadi Chida festival of distributing chipped rice with yogurt prasadam there. And he took the prasadam kneeling down. A sanctified lake in this place is always full of water throughout the year. A great fair is held there during Goshtashtami, and there is another big fair on the birthday of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In the Gauranodesha Deepika, 58-63, it is described that Halayuda, Baladev, Vishwarup, and Shankarshan appeared as Nityananda Avadut. So the Gauranodesha Deepika is a book written by Kavi Karnapur, in which he describes the identities of the devotees in Chaitanya Leela, who they were in Krishna Leela. And so he describes that Nityananda Avadut is like a combination of Halayuda, Baladev, Vishwarup, and Shankarshan. So, in a way, the most significant event that took place in Ekachakra, apart from Nityananda Prabhu's appearing there, was his leaving there. A sannyasi came to visit, and of course, Hadai Pandit and his wife, Padmavati, served him very respectfully and affectionately. And at the end of his stay, he said, "I would like to ask something of you." And they said, "Yes, of course, whatever you ask, we will give you." So he said, "I want your son, Nitai. I'm traveling to holy places alone, and I have no assistant. So I want your son, Nitai." Now this was a devastating request, which has been compared to the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. His father had promised his co-wife, Kaikeyi, that because he was pleased with her for some service she rendered to him, so he had promised her some boons. And she said, well, I won't take them now, but I will take them later. And then on the eve of Ramachandra's coronation, Kaikeyi asked for those boons. And one was that her son, Bharat, should be named the king. And the other was that Ramachandra should be sent into exile for 14 years. So because Dasarath had given his word of honor, he felt obliged to keep it. And so it came to pass what Kaikeyi asked it. But he was so devastated, King Dasarath, that he died out of the shock and separation. So when Hadai Pandit told the sannyasi that he would give him whatever he asked, and he asked for Nitai, he thought, I'm in the same position as Dasarath. So he consulted his wife, Padmavati, explained this is the situation. She said, well, you've given your word, so you have to give him. So the sannyasi took Nitai. When the news spread in the village what had happened, all the villagers came to Hadai Pandit and said, how could you have done that? Nitai is our life and soul. And so they all went looking for that sannyasi, and their idea was that they would give their sons, not just one, as many as that sannyasi wanted, but he should give back Nitai. But although they looked everywhere, they could not find him. And after that, Ekachakra, which had been, you know, flourishing and opulent and full of beauty and life, it became desolate. But anyway, that that's part of the dynamic of spiritual life, meeting and separation. There's always meeting and separation. And this, at least superficially, the separation can be devastating. So this is just a little background about the appearance of Lord Nityananda and his early activities with his friends. So now I'm going to read two verses that describe Nityananda Prabhu's character. So repeat again. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vande Nanta Abhyutai Swariyam Sri Nityanandam Ishwaram Yasya Chaya Tatsvarupam Agenapi Dirupyate. Let me offer my obeisances to Lord Sri Nityananda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose opulence is wonderful and unlimited. By his will, even a fool can understand his identity. So now I will read two verses that really summarize the essence of Lord Nityananda. These are texts 208 and 209. 208, Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatara Uttama Adama Kichu Nakare Vichara. Translation, because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. Ye age padaya tare kare nistara. He delivers all those who fall down before him. So, preme mata means mad and ecstatic love. Srila Rupa Goswami describes the progression of bhakti, ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha. Ado shraddha means first there's some preliminary faith or attraction. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha, then association with devotees. Tata bhajana kriya, then one engages in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says that at this stage, bhajana kriya, one takes initiation from the spiritual master and begins the regular practice of devotional service. Then anartha nivritti, by the practice of devotional service, anarthas, unwanted things, unwanted behavior, nivritti are vanquished. Not completely, but 75%. Then nishta, one becomes fixed or steady. When there is many anarthas, one is not steady in devotional service. One may stray from the path here and then, here and now, then and there. Nishta, then ruchi. Ruchi means taste. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that there are two divisions of ruchi. In the lower division, one has taste only when the kirtan is performed nicely, the katha is delivered well. But in the more advanced stage of ruchi, one has taste, even if the kirtan or the katha are not, you know, performed so expertly. But one just has taste for Krishna. And then asakti, which means attachment. And so those are the seven stages in sadhana bhakti. Then comes bhava, that's its own category, bhava bhakti, and then prema, prema bhakti. So Nityananda, and then in prema there are even more stages of development, which generally are not possible in the material world, because the physical body cannot bear such extreme ecstasy. But after leaving the body and taking birth in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, those further developments take place, culminating in the highest, which is Mahabhava. So Preme Mata, because he is mad in ecstatic love. Well, Mata in the synonyms is translated as mad. In the translation, it's rendered intoxicated. They both apply. Preme Mata Nityananda Kripa Avatara. He's an incarnation of mercy. His whole purpose to give mercy, which is very fortunate for us, because we desperately need his mercy. And on a day like today, Nityananda Trayodasi, he is eager to bestow his mercy. Then, Uttama means good, Adama means bad. Kichu na kare vichar. He makes no consideration between the good and the bad. He doesn't distinguish between the good and the bad. So then, on what basis does one get Nityananda Prabhu's mercy? That is described in the next verse. Ye age padaye tare. Whoever falls down before him, kareye nishtara, he delivers them. So what is the meaning of falling down before him? To do that, one must be humble. That's really the only requirement to get Lord Nityananda's mercy, to fall down before him, which means in utter humility. There's was a discussion between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad as to how Prahlad had become a devotee. As you know, Hiranyakashipu was a big demon, and he considered Vishnu to be his enemy. Hiranyakashipu had a brother named Hiranyaksha who was killed by Vishnu in the form of Varahadev. Yesterday was Varaha Dvadasi. And so he was already inimical toward Vishnu, but when Vishnu killed his brother, he became even more so. And his goal was to avenge his brother's death by killing Vishnu. We, from our perspective, know that you can't kill Vishnu. But Hiranyakashipu and many demons, because they also had mystic powers, so they thought that Vishnu was a living entity, but he had mystic powers by which he could do many wonderful feats. But still, he could be killed. And Hiranyakashipu pretty much thought that he was immortal, that he couldn't be killed because he had received so many boons from Lord Brahma. So Hiranyakashipu had Prahlad educated by Sananda and Amarka. These are like two teachers. And of course they were deputed to educate Prahlad in material success. And so one day Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, what is the best thing you learned in school? Like we might ask a child, what did you learn in school? What subjects do you like? So Prahlad said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Devotional service to Vishnu, who was Hiranyakashipu's enemy in his mind. So Hiranyakashipu became furious, and so he called for the boys' teachers and asked them, the boy's consciousness has been spoiled. He's speaking favorably about Vishnu, who's our enemy. You are teaching him wrongly. They said, no, we are not. We haven't taught him devotion to Vishnu. And he said, well, then you're allowing Vaishnavas to come in disguise and infiltrate the school. And they said, no, we are not. No Vaishnavas have entered the school. Then Hiranyakashipu asked, then where did he get this devotion to Vishnu? And they said, we don't know. You better ask him. So Hiranyakashipu called for Prahlad and he asked him. And Prahlad replied, Naisammatistavad Arukamam Green. Well, he said that one Paratosvatova. Matirna Krishna Paratosvatova, that one cannot become Krishna conscious by one's own efforts or by the efforts of others or by the combined efforts of oneself and others. So it would seem logically that all possibilities are excluded. But one can become Krishna conscious when he receives the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. So he told his father that, you know, you don't need to worry about becoming Krishna conscious because you're too puffed up. You'll never bow down to the feet of a pure devotee. So that's not a concern for you. But that is the method, and that's the same humility that is mentioned here. That Nityananda delivers all those who fall down before him. There was a popular singer named Boy George, who had association with devotees, and he went to Vrindavan and spent some time in Vrindavan. And from his association with devotees, he saw that when you come in front of the deity, you bow down. But he noticed in Vrindavan, a lot of the pilgrims did not bow down. So he wrote a song called "Bow Down, Mister," which became a very popular song. Quite catchy. But that's it, bowing down. Bowing down is necessary. And if you bow down or as it's mentioned here, fall down before Nityananda Prabhu, he'll give you his mercy. And that's the reason that we offer obeisances. It's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that by offering obeisances to a sadhu or a sannyasi, the sadhu or sannyasi will become favorably inclined to be merciful to that person. Of course, that's if, you know, the sadhu or sannyasi is actually a Vaishnava and he doesn't like enjoy having people bow down to him. So this description in a way also fits Srila Prabhupada. I mean, he was certainly steeped in love of Godhead, and he was also like a Kripa avatar, an incarnation of mercy. And he also didn't distinguish between the good and the bad. He made Krishna consciousness available to everyone. He delivers all those who fall down before him. That was the only requirement, that they should accept Srila Prabhupada. It didn't matter what their background was, but as long as they accepted him, you know, he agreed to give them his mercy and train them and reform them. There was one incident in Bombay. Tamal Krishna Goswami had a hernia, and he he went to Jaslok Hospital, which was considered the best hospital in Bombay at the time. It was built by a good friend and supporter named Damodar Chanrai. But Srila Prabhupada didn't trust the medical treatment in India at the time. He wanted Tamal Krishna Goswami to have the procedure done in America. So he wanted to stop the operation. So at the time, we had just gotten, for a few years we didn't have any motor vehicles, but then we got some jeeps. And so Srila Prabhupada rode down to Jaslok Hospital in the jeep. He tried phoning, but that wasn't successful. It was, anyway, it wasn't that easy to make phone calls in India then. So he got in the jeep and drove down to Jaslok Hospital. But he was too late, in the sense that the operation had already been done. And they were, wheeling Tamal Krishna Goswami out of the operation theater. And the anesthesia was wearing off. So when he saw Srila Prabhupada, he told him that he had had a dream. And in that dream, Srila Prabhupada was giving a report to the previous acharyas, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Bhakti Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And they were asking Srila Prabhupada, how is his preaching going on the planet Earth? And Srila Prabhupada replied that the people have no good qualities. They have no background of pious activities. They have no spiritual knowledge or even interest. But the only one thing, their only redeeming quality is they have faith in me. And whatever I tell them, they accept and do. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami looked up at Srila Prabhupada for his response, and Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that is a fact. So, it's just like this, more or less. Because he is intoxicated by ecstatic love and is an incarnation of mercy, he does not distinguish between the good and the bad. He delivers all those who fall down before him. There is another incident in Bombay. One of Srila Prabhupada's very early disciples from America had come to India and was in Calcutta. And there he fell into smoking ganja, marijuana. And the Calcutta temple president didn't know what to do. So he phoned Bombay, and Srila Prabhupada didn't generally, that almost never would he personally take a phone call. And in Bombay also, he didn't personally take the phone call. I don't remember who did, but he can... So the temple president was waiting on the line. He explained the situation, and one of Prabhupada's secretaries informed him. And Srila Prabhupada said that you tell him, you tell that disciple, if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him. And that was the message. After the phone call, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that you would reject him if he doesn't stop smoking ganja? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, it's not true. I cannot reject anyone. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but don't you have to draw the line somewhere? And Srila Prabhupada replied, the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu has no limit. So that was his mood. He was very much in the mood of Nityananda Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So are there any comments or questions?
Exact place of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's appearance, is that like in yoga fit, do they have a specific place that he appeared from?
Yeah. That's there in Ekachakra. Exact place. Yeah. Other questions or comments?
I read in the article that his umbilical cord was also buried, and they built something on the top near the place where he used to bathe.
That it's kept?
Yeah, like buried, like, I mean, not buried, but they built a structure.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yes, an Ekachakra. Yes, Bhaktidas.
Guru Maharaj, what are some ways that we can develop a better mood of humility so that we can fall at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu?
Well, that reminds me of an amazing statement that Srila Prabhupada made, which really summarizes the whole process of spiritual advancement. He said, because our goal is to approach Radha and Krishna. He said, to approach Radha and Krishna, you need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And to approach Lord Chaitanya, no. To approach Radha and Krishna, you need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. To get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jagai and Madhai. So, we do that. I mean, that's the mood, you know, without discrimination. Uttama adama kichu na kare vichar. Yeah, we do that when we distribute books, when we go on Harinam Sankirtan, when we have festivals. And that makes us humble. in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada had a friend, very, very pious lady, Dr. Indira Shingi. She was a medical doctor. She never married. And she told Srila Prabhupada that, you know, I have many ideas how your disciples can get money. And then they won't have to go out and beg like they do. And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I want them to beg, because that's how they'll learn humility. Even in Krishna Leela, Krishna sent his cowherd boyfriends to beg some charity, some food, from some Brahmins who were performing sacrifices. And the Brahmins refused. So when the cowherd boys came back and told Krishna what had happened, he said, you know, that is the way of begging. You can't expect to be successful in every case. And then he said, well, now, you know, go back to their wives. There are devotees, and they will give you. We have to expect rejection. And that makes us humble, should make, you know, free us from our false ego and false prestige. There's a related story that I was quite successful in approaching important people in Bombay and in enlisting them as life members and supporters. But there is one shipping magnate who was really avoiding me. I could never get through to him at his office. Too many secretaries and too many doors. So one day I got his residential address. When they took a chance, they went to his home. And he, you know, it was on the weekend. He was relaxed. And I rang the doorbell. He opened the door, and it was me. Probably the last person he wanted to see. But, you know, he had some culture, you know, he invited me in. But he was, you know, he was smug and puffed up, and so he said, what can I do for you? So I was also probably I had my false ego. So I said, I've come to do something for you. He said, oh, you've come to do something for me. What have you come to do for me? I said, I've come to engage you in Krishna's service. So, anyway, in the end, he didn't become a life member, but he took an ad in our souvenir book. But it was good. You know, he did some service. So the practice was that after my day out preaching, I would come and report to Srila Prabhupada when he was in Bombay. I told him what happened. and he said, to preach you have to be humble. And yeah, he had said it on other occasions that that if you go to people and say, I mean, this isn't what I told the shipper, Mr. Kotak, but I suppose indirectly that's what I was saying. He said, if you go to someone and say that, you know, everything belongs to Krishna, and you have stolen Krishna's property, and you should return it, the sooner the better, they won't like it. But if you come in a humble mood, that you know, you're, and Srila Prabhupada used to quote this verse from Prabodhananda Saraswati: "Dante ni daya chinakam padayor ni patra." So, Dante ni daya chinakam. That means taking the straw in my teeth. Nipatya, falling down. Dante nidaya chinakam padayor nipatya. Kritva chakaku satad etadaham bravime. And flattering you 100 times. Hey sadhava, O saintly person. Sakala eva vihaya durad. Whatever you have learned, keep it far away. Garanga Chandra Charane Kurutanuraga. Just become a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So that's like the humble mood, and Srila Prabhupada did demonstrate that in his own preaching. There was yeah, when we first came to Bombay, we stayed at Kailash Saxaria's house on Marine Drive in Bombay. And one evening, Kailash Saxaria arranged a very, you could say, glamorous program on the rooftop of his building, to which he invited all, you know, the wealthy and aristocratic people of Bombay that he knew. And so Srila Prabhupada just wanted them, he wanted to get them to chant. And he's like, he paraphrased the verse of Prabodhananda Saraswati. He said, I'm taking the straw in my teeth and I'm begging you, please chant. He wanted them to actually utter the holy names, Hare Krishna, in his presence. And he, you know, humbled himself to do it. So, yeah, so when I came back from my encounter with Mr. Kotak, the shipping magnate, he said, to preach you have to be humble. And he also said that every businessman is always calculating in terms of profit and loss. And he won't give something unless he feels he's going to gain something from it. So, I mean, in effect, he was saying, so you don't have to tell him that you've come to do something for him, because he'll only give if he feels he is going to get some benefit. But if you come in a humble mood as a beggar, then people like that respond. You know, you say, you know, everything belongs to Krishna. You're a thief. Come to take Krishna's property back. Not going to like it. What do you mean? I work hard for my money. It's mine. But if you come in a humble mood like of a beggar and you say, you have come at come as a beggar to your doorstep. We're building a temple. Can you help us? Then, oh, a beggar has come. Okay, we'll give him something. So, yeah. Yes, Krishna Kirtan.
Guruji, I was wondering, sometimes when we preach, we have to discriminate a little bit. I mean, one time you gave the story how Srila Prabhupada was in that Gita Sammelan in Mumbai and he refused to be with the group who invited him to speak together. And he said, no, I won't go. And sometimes when you see, when we preach, we decide, oh no, this is not... Yeah, so like, no, I'm not going to do this preaching here because it doesn't work. I'm going to do it somewhere else. So how do we exercise that idea of humility? You were saying in preaching we have to be humble. How do we stay humble and still discriminate while preaching?
Well, the case you mentioned about Srila Prabhupada was before he began ISKCON. He was invited to some conference about the Gita that was being organized by Mayavadis. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back, you know, in essence, that you know, you're not understanding the Gita properly, and you're not presenting it properly, and I'm not going to come. And not only that, but I'm going to tell all my friends that they shouldn't come either. So that's a little different. That's not discriminating who we preach to, that's discriminating the context of our preaching. I had a similar experience, somewhat similar, related, when I went to Madras. And early when I got there, there is a man named Mr. Retnamayer, who was, reputed to be a very religious man. He had his own organization called the Astika Samaj, and he said that he would arrange for Prabhupada's preaching programs. He had a big hall, you know, everything was set up. And in the end, Srila Prabhupada said, it's not good to depend on others. But of course, you know, it depends. But he was my buddy. Not good to depend on others to create a platform for our preaching. It's better we create our own platform. So in the example you've cited, Prabhupada didn't want to depend on their platform, the Mayavadi's platform. But as far as who to preach to, when Prabhupada came to America, he preached to everyone in New York and San Francisco. Yeah, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Rishikesh Mahadev. He says that you can't. Well, you can't imagine the people who Srila Prabhupada was preaching to. He suggested that everyone should see Yadubara Prabhu's video series following Srila Prabhupada to see like who Srila Prabhupada was preaching to in New York and San Francisco. You can't imagine. So in that sense, you know, he didn't discriminate who was good or who was bad, who was high or who was low. But in India it was a little different. Although initially he had us go out every day and do Harinam Sankirtan. But later he wanted to introduce life membership, which is not for everyone. That's like, of course, Harinam is for everyone and book distribution is for everyone, but and that's also in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, yad yad acharati shrestha, that whatever the great men do, the others will follow. So in that sense, it's a more intelligent strategy to go for the leaders. Because if you get the leaders, so many others will follow. Like he said, making one college student a devotee is equal to making 10 other people into devotees. Because one college student can make 10 others into devotees. So, I mean, this is the mood of the heart to want to give to everyone, but in terms of strategy, we do use our intelligence. But when we're out on the street, I mean, there's so many stories from book distributors. You can't predict who is going to respond how. Yes, Arjuna?
When, very simple question, like, we are saying that Lord Nityananda, he gives mercy, he doesn't discriminate to whom he will give the mercy, but he gives mercy when one surrenders. A simple question comes is, like, why Lord Nityananda waits for one to, like, fall down? Doesn't he give mercy without surrender, or that is required for one to show one's desire to get his mercy, like to surrender?
Well, I mean, he gives his mercy, he offers his mercy, but not everyone takes it. And the ones who fall down before him, they, although he's offering it to everyone, but they get the maximum. There's one story that a man came to Srila Prabhupada and he asked for blessings. And, you know, basically Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, I'm trying to spread this movement and it's very difficult. So you have so many headaches. So if you take some of my headaches, I will give you my blessings. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.